When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that line falls on the right, babe, not that Mackey's back in town.
Big Monica here with you on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Me and Rami rolling with you for 3 hours. We got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. What a day. What a baseball day. The deadline's finally over. We can stop talking about it. We can stop trying to figure out who the Yankees are going to get, who they're not going to get, what are the Mets going to do, how serious are they taking this deadline, are they willing to make uncomfortable trades, will the Yankees make uncomfortable trades. We know what's going to happen. And for both teams, for me, underwhelming. But we got to start with the games. We'll get to the trade deadline. And again, like I said, certainly for the Yankees and even for the Mets, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. I get it. But I felt there was opportunities for both teams to do more, even though prices were sky high in this trade deadline. And a lot of guys we all assumed were going to move didn't move. Some guys moved for ridiculous prices. We'll get to the deadline and my reactions to it. But we got to start with the two games. We got to start with the two victories that took place last night. The pitching performance from Manaea. Everything else that went on with that game. And we'll start with the New York Yankees because of the nature of that win. And because now Jazz Chisholm is a thing. Smooth Jazz is the thing. And watching this team, and really the whole day from the trade deadline, and being underwhelmed as a Yankee fan, and not being as, I thought Cashman was going to make a lot more moves. The moves he did make, I like. And I don't think you can underestimate what Jazz Chisholm's going to bring to this team. I think it's a, you know, you always have with the trade deadline, the reaction of the immediate, like the day of, we're waiting, we're sitting around, you know, some of us are sleeping, but you're waiting around, checking your rehab, you know, refreshing your phone constantly. And so when things don't come, you forget the trade that happened 2 days ago or a day ago or whatever. You forget that as part of the deal and just frustrated by what happened in the day. And I was frustrated by the lack of movement from both teams, quite honestly, at least impact moves from both teams. Then you find out the news that the ace, Gerrit Cole, who did not pitch well against the Mets in his last outing, is missing the start and is skipping the start. And Will Warren's going to make it because of full body fatigue, which is just, you know, it seems like, and listen, I like to give Cashman and Boone the benefit of the doubt. You know, it's me, Chris McMonagle. How are you? But you know that everybody and their mother thinks that that is going to be, oh, you know, he's going on the IL. Who knows when we see Gerrit Cole again? Full body fatigue. No one believes that. No one thinks he rolled out of bed and said, oh, you know, I just feel like I'm fatigued. Like, nobody believes that. And we'll see what actually comes from it. But from that moment throughout the game and to win a game that, without question, from almost every aspect of it, from just hearing that everything that happened yesterday points to a Yankee loss. I'm going to give you five things, practically, that from the moment I woke up, everything that happened was leading towards a Yankee loss, especially over the last 8 or so weeks. Everything. From hearing that Cole was going to miss the start, from the inability to get a left-handed reliever as they're jettisoning the only left-handed reliever they have in Ferguson. Like, there's no lefty reliever coming. There's no other reliever coming besides Leiter, and we'll get to it. They don't make any addition more in the offense. Nothing at the trade deadline. Cole isn't going to pitch. Then Warren gives up a three-run home run, and they fall behind. They score a run first. Then they give up the run immediately. Then they fall behind the Philadelphia Phillies, mind you, in Philadelphia. And, yes, they've lost four series now, five series in a row. But still, the best record in baseball, the best team all year long in baseball, to fall behind them three runs early on in that game, it's over. We've seen it before, but not with this team. Not with this team that continues to score runs. Now, what is it, 47 runs with the help of a couple extra innings. 47 runs in the last five games. And to come back and win that game after, obviously, Jazz Chisholm hits two home runs to give him the lead. And he's just been, I know we want to compare the responses to playing third base between Jazz Chisholm and Gleyber Torres. And I understand, well, look, let me just say this. Jazz Chisholm is a guy coming over here from the Marlins, happy to be on a winning squad. He's just coming here to the Yankees. Gleyber Torres grew up with the Yankees. The answers don't have to be the same. All right, I will get into it a little bit. I understand Jazz Chisholm. I'll play wherever. I don't care. Yeah, but he just got here. He's got no anything built up. It's a different animal. And we've seen him. We've seen Gleyber Torres be moved to shortstop and fail. He's probably doing the team a betterment by saying, you know what? I'm not going to move because I suck when I move. So you know what, Boone and Cashman? If you guys are too stupid to realize I shouldn't move off second base, then I'll do it for you. But to watch Jazz Chisholm come in, hit these two home runs, change the vibe of this team, just instantly. They just needed something. And yes, he's come in and he's the first Yankee ever to hit four home runs in his first three games. Right? To have back-to-back days of multiple home runs and to hit a go-ahead three-run shot when it looked like walking Soto and Judge was going to come up empty, which is so important to this damn team. A terrible night for the catcher who has been great. Don't get me wrong. You love what you've seen over the last handful of, month, really, of Wells. He's been incredible, but he had a terrible night. And for Chisholm to hit that home run, it's an enormous home run. It's a game-changing home run. It's something that if they can have now, we've seen this lineup change dramatically. Verdugo, and I talked about it, forget the trade deadline, be damned. Verdugo has to hit. Stanton has to hit. Obviously Stanton has to hit too, but Torres has to hit. And Volpe has to hit. Those are the three guys I was pointing to because I never believed Verdugo or Torres were getting traded. I knew they were going to be a part of this team in some way, shape, or form. I thought there was a chance they'd bring in someone else and he would have to fight for his position more than he is now. But I knew he was going to be a part of this team. You knew Verdugo was going to be a part of this team. And they needed those three guys to hit. And they've hit. Plus, you've added Chisholm to the middle of this lineup. And it feels completely different. And being behind 4-1 and now going through two of the three best pitchers in this staff, watching this pitching rotation that has been as dominant as any in the sport, and going into Philadelphia and taking the first two and falling behind 4-1, this game felt over. And it felt like, here we go. All the excitement of Jazz Chisholm and the winning streak was going to be let down by the idea of, whoop, now all of a sudden the ace is hurt. Whoop, all of a sudden the trade deadline that everybody expected, at least a bunch of moves, whether they'd be successful or not, became underwhelming and didn't. And Brian Cashman, yet again, didn't please any single Yankee fan at the trade deadline. And now here we go, we're down four runs, and this thing is going to fall apart. They're going to lose today, they're going to lose tomorrow in a short turnaround, and they're going to lose this series, and all the momentum built up over the last couple days is going to fade away, and all we're going to talk about is how much we hate Brian Cashman, how much we hate Aaron Boone, how much we hate this team, and away we go. And instead, Mr. Cool Jazz himself, Jazz Chisholm, hits that home run, and they get to the ninth inning, and you know what happens there. And I know Clay Holmes is going to be a talking point. I get it. He wasn't good in this game. It's not like the other day that I'll defend him left and right when fielders are falling down and blowing ground balls. He didn't get four outs in this game. He was not good enough. That wild pitch is unacceptable. But I'm sorry. You know how I feel. The amount of vitriol and the amount of people telling me Clay Holmes can't be a closer, I just find it ridiculous. If you watched this performance last night, he doesn't give up any hard contact whatsoever. Yes, the biggest flaw about this particular argument is that the defense behind him isn't any damn good. That is the biggest problem. And you know what I say to that? That doesn't change if you move him to the eighth inning. That doesn't change if you move him to the seventh inning. The answer is either do not pitch Clay Holmes, because I don't think this is a ninth inning thing. I don't think the moment's too big for him. He comes out there, has great stuff, has bad at bat after bad at bat after bad at bat, little light ground balls, swinging at curveball, swinging at sliders, out, 2 feet outside of the off the plate, barely making contact for a little ground ball that gets the inning started, and you know the inning is going the way it's going. You know it. Once that ball is rolled down the third baseline, you know exactly how it's going. Whether it's ground balls too soft to turn double plays, Glaber not being able to get the ball out of his hand. I don't know if he turns the double play anyway, but I'd like to have seen it try. I'd like to have seen maybe he would have had a chance to turn a double play, but you know what's going to happen. And I understand that, and I'm upset with the amount of blown saves, and Clay Holmes then throws the wild pitch that cost him the run with two outs. No one's saying you can't go out and get Kyle Schwarber out. You can. So by no means am I defending him the way I defended him in the game against Baltimore when Verdugo fell down. But at the same time, I don't believe this is a ninth inning thing. This is an all-star reliever. Whatever you think about that, you could laugh at me now if you'd like. But he's an all-star reliever who's got good stuff and who gets nothing but soft contact and is beat on a routinely basis by it. And it's puzzling and it's frustrating, but I don't think the idea that, oh, well, just put anybody in there. Put Tompkins in there because he pitched well last night. Or put anybody in there. Like, if they move him the seventh or the eighth inning, this doesn't happen? You think his stuff doesn't lead to soft contact in the seventh? You think he could pitch with a lead in the eighth inning and you'd be comfortable with it? I don't know what the answer is. And I'm open to moving Clay Holmes, and I'm frustrated that today they didn't get a reliever that would at least give me an option. Maybe Leiter will be. He came in just right off the flight from Cincinnati and pitched well in this game. Maybe in 2 or 3 days, a week, if another blown save happens, you move Leiter. I'm fine with it. By no means am I stomping my feet, holding my breath, and saying, Clay Holmes is the closer, Clay Holmes is the closer. But at the same time, I watch the games. I watch the games. And he gets beat by the most ridiculous. Every single time he makes a pitch, he gets beat by it. And we can go over the strikeout content. Everyone says, oh, swing and miss. You need more swing and miss stuff. I agree the bullpen overall needs more swing and miss stuff. But the idea you need to strike people out to get saves is inaccurate. And I will point you to Mariano Rivera. All right, I don't want to do this again. I've already done this. But Mariano Rivera struck out the same number of people as Clay Holmes. Now, he was Mo. And if Clay Holmes came in and walked the ballpark, we'd have a different argument. He came in, he pitched well, and he got beat by unlucky crap. That's just the truth. You don't have to like it, and I'm not saying he has to be the closer. But let's not act. I heard Keith call it malpractice to throw him out there. I disagree. I do not think it's malpractice to throw Clay Holmes in the ninth inning. I don't know where to throw him, and I think he's got good stuff and has as many bad at-bats and as many uncomfortable at-bats and creates as many what should be outs as anybody else in that bullpen. And if you look at his postseason numbers, he's been excellent in the postseason. But Clay Holmes is a subject we can get into all show long, I'm sure, 888-808-1019. But here's the point. They won a game after blowing that save. They have a miraculous end of that inning where, yet again, another ground ball that should be an easy play picked up by the timeless DJ LeMahieu. Well, that's another conversation on why the hell he's even in this game. And we can get into that, too, the defensive replacement nature of DJ LeMahieu, who, by the way, to be fair, if you watch the rest of the game, made scoops. I'm not sure Ben Rice makes. But when you have a ground ball hit right at you, can you please make the play? And Gleyber Torres makes a... Get ready for this. Everyone sitting down? Are you prepared for this? I just want to let you know, because what I'm going to say is the truth, and you know it, whether you like it or not. And it boggles my mind as much as it's about to boggle you. Gleyber Torres makes the heads-up play of the game to keep the Yankees in it and saves the game. I know. I couldn't believe it myself. But there is no doubt that him not giving up on that play, watching it the whole way through, going to get it, and then making a perfect throw to Clay Holmes on the run, who also didn't stop running to cover first when the ball went up in the air. Got to give them both a little bit of credit. Saves the game, but that is a game the Yankees lose. 9 times out of 8 over the last 2 months. And somehow they figure out a way, despite DJ LeMahieu not being able to drive in a runner from third, despite all the other nonsense that went on, they come in, Leiter gets a nice inning to get them out without giving up the run. They manage to score enough. Gleyber Torres again comes through with the sacrifice fly, and somehow they win a baseball game that I don't know how they won. A baseball game they have lost over and over and over again over the last 2 months. And right now, whatever acquisitions they made at the deadline, and it's not enough for me either, and we're going to get into the deadline. But if Jazz Chisholm is going to be this player, now no one's expecting two home runs a night, but if Jazz Chisholm is going to be the kind of guy who flourishes in a new team with a lot more pressure, a lot more eyes. He talked about the crowd, the sizes of the crowd. He gets thrown right into Red Sox, Yankees. Now he's playing Philadelphia, a ballpark he's familiar with, playing in the NL East his entire career. But still an atmosphere with the Yankees and Phillies that he's not used to. He'll head home to play at Yankee Stadium. If he's the kind of guy built for this team, if he's the kind of guy who's going to play like this, come through with clutch moments, get thrown into the deep end playing third base, and come through it the way he's come through it, well, then the deadline feels a lot better. A lot better than it did at 6 o'clock last night. It feels a lot better. And watching this team now win games on Saturday night against the Red Sox, they had no business winning. Winning games last night against Philadelphia that they had no business winning, have now won four in a row, taken two consecutive series, and the offense has awoken. And if Gleyber Torres is going to hit, and Verdugo's going to hit, and Volpe's going to hit, and Wells is going to hit, and Stanton's back, and this is Jazz Chisholm, then the deadline's not as bad as we might all think it is, including myself. And this team has a real chance to do exactly what we think it should do and compete for a World Series title. But that game last night, we can get into the Clay Holmes angle. I don't even want to get into it in the open. Sometimes I run my mouth. We'll get into it next. But just the idea of overcoming that, because when Clay Holmes blows a game, they lose. When they fall behind 4-1, they lose. When Gerrit Cole gets scratched a couple of hours before the game, they lose. And all those things, all added together, they lose. Any one of those things happen, they lose, let alone all three. It feels different. It feels different. And then you get to the Mets, who, in my opinion, had an underwhelming trade deadline as well. Yes, they helped the team on the fringe. Yes, they managed to keep all their big-time prospects, who were asked about in a bunch of trades. If you listen to the new man from Milwaukee and Stearns, he told you everyone's asking for him, and I'm sure they are. That's what the deadline's about. And yes, they made some they picked up some pieces. They picked up some decent bullpen arms. They got another starter for this rotation. How good Blackburn is, we'll find out. But they didn't do anything to make me feel better about this team moving forward. I still feel good. You watched Manaea last night against a very good Minnesota team, and now have completely bounced back over the last two losses against Atlanta, give you an impressive performance. You win two games, and this is the sign of a good team. You do one or the other. You score a ton of runs in the first game. You come out, the offense struggles other than, you know, the home run from Vientos and the base hit from Martinez, but you figure out a way to pitch, and you get 11 strikeouts from Manaea. The rotation's really coming together without Kodai Senga. Has been a positive all year and is really looking its best that we've seen all year. Despite the injuries, Manaea gives you an incredible performance. You score just enough runs, you bounce back, and you feel good about the Mets. There's no doubt about it. In a building they haven't played well in, particularly at home. And you thought, as Senga went down and you lost the opportunity to really stick it to the Braves in the last two games of the series, how they were going to respond. And really, since the meeting, since Lopez threw his glove, and since that walk-off home run from J.D. Martinez, this team has responded every single time you had concerns. And so I believe in this team. And moving forward, I think as presently constituted, they're good enough to be a playoff team, they're good enough to compete, and they're good enough to, who knows, they're just as good as the Diamondbacks were last year. But for both of these teams, including the Mets, the big move that could have really put them over the top eluded them. And we'll get into it more as we get through the show. 888-808-1019. So obviously we'll talk about the deadline. We'll talk about the two impressive wins, the pitching performances, the offensive performances, the come-from-behind nature, and of course, Clay Holmes as the closer of the New York Yankees, as well as the underwhelming performance from the GMs for both teams, in my mind, although Stearns is probably sitting a little bit prettier considering the feeling around the team and the expectations of what was to be done, where Brian Cashman really fell flat. And I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans are pissed off this morning, so we'll get to it. And you got to talk about Clay Holmes. You got to tell me how terrible Clay Holmes is. Come on, give me a call. We'll argue about it. Big whoop. Want to fight about it? 888-808-1019. We'll come back, do that. We'll talk about the lack. You want to talk about lackluster? How about the final episode of off-season edition Hard Knocks? What a snooze fest the draft was. That built all up for that crappy episode.
Was that the last one?
That was it. See ya. Final episode. Wah, wah. Although it was a very good series all along. So we'll get to that, too. We have plenty to get to. Your phone calls, obviously, will take us through the morning until 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. McMongle here with you till the warm-up show right here on The Fan.